Turn our Bibles to Psalm. Chapter 48. Psalm chapter 48. If you need the Bible, just raise your hand and one of our ushers will make sure we get one in your hand. Psalm 48, let's go from, we're just going to read verse 1, and then we're going to read verse 14. So we're going to do the first and the last. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, his holy mountain. And then verse 14, for such is God, our God forever and ever, and he will guide us until death. Let's pray. Lord, we bless you today, God. We thank you, Lord, for drawing us into this place, God. We thank you, Lord, that it's not a mistake, Lord, and it's not an accident, God, that Lord, these people are sitting in this room right now at this time, Father. Lord, you have a word for us, God. You have something that you want to say to us, Lord. We just want to open up our hearts and our ears, God, to hear that what you have to say. Lord, release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to us, God, individually and corporately as a body. We bless you, God. Lord, I humble myself, God. I ask you to use me, Lord, and in the midst of my fatigue and migraine and everything else that's going on, God. Lord, I rely on you and you alone. We bless you, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. It's going to be another special morning today. I just flew in from L.A. and I had a wonderful trip. I went to this conference called Catalyst. And honestly, I went last year to the conference and I absolutely hated it. I came back thinking, oh, it's a bunch of Christians who think they're too cool for everything. It's back on the church all day long. And so I don't know why I went this year again. I just know that I was going through it and you just feel God's just say go. And I was kicking and screaming, you know, fighting the whole way. And eventually I made it out there and I actually had an incredible time. And it was crazy because I'll just one quick testimony. I'm sitting in the room and you gotta understand, first of all, it was full. And so I didn't register, you know, beforehand. And so I got to the front, I got to the tail, waiting in line the day of registration, you know, and it's already starting, right? And I walked in and, next thing you know, they're like, sorry, it's closed. We're packed out. It's a fire hazard now. I went, what? You know, and so I pulled out my Hong Kong ID card, right? And so I'm like, hey man, I flew all the way from Hong Kong for this thing, right? And so you got to let me in. And so they were very gracious, let me in and let my friend in, who's actually now on our church staff now because, he had to sign up under Solomon's porch. And so we have another staff member named Tommy Cazares, if you're interested. And so we got in and Hillsong United was playing and those guys are awesome, man. I mean, I have my reservations about Hillsong, but man, Hillsong United, those guys were incredible. And so I just walked in. I mean, it was just the presence of the Lord. And I was sitting there and I was thinking about a lot of stuff at church and I was thinking, you know what? We really need prayer. The last meeting I had before I came on this trip, I met with a lady from Cleansing Streams, you know, trying to figure out how are we going to do inner healing, you know, how are we going to launch something, right? And so I'm looking out and there's 3,500, 20, 30 somethings. I'm even old for this crowd, right? You know, and these are all the young up and coming leaders, you know, in America. And I'm thinking about this. I'm praying about, you know, and you know, while I'm trying to, the worship, everything is happening, and I sit down, and who would I see? Two rows in front of me. Dr. Charles Kraft, right? You know, if you don't know Dr. Kraft, he's the father of inner healing, especially theologically. You know, and so I was like, I couldn't believe it, because the guy's like 70. He doesn't belong there at all. You know, I mean, he has no business being at this conference, you know? And sure enough, he was there. His son actually dragged him there. His son's young pastor in New Mexico, and bought a ticket for him, so he couldn't refuse, because the ticket's like $300. You know, and so so he went, and so I had lunch with him and sat down and had a wonderful time. And long story short, he's going to come in January to do a conference for us, and he's going to do a weekend with the whole church, inner healing. And then afterwards, Monday through Friday, he's going to take 25 of us that are really interested in doing inner healing, and he's going to do an in-depth teaching for five days, as well as minister to people during the day. And so. It was just amazing, right? Just right before my eyes, and and everything happened so fast. And I saw him the next day to, you know, because he said he has materials for me, and he gave us, you know, 8 DVDs on all of his teaching, and he wants us to see it before, and, you know, some books and all that kind of stuff. And I told him, I says, yeah, you know, I emailed some of our leaders, and I was saying, man, it was such a divine appointment, you know, to see you here, you know. And then he, you know, Dr. Kraft looks at me and says, yeah, it was a divine appointment for me too. Right. I'll say he's quite excited to come. Apparently the last time he was here in Hong Kong, he didn't have a very good time. And there was a lot of, you know, backstage leadership crap happening and stuff. And so I think this is a time of redemption for him as well and stuff. So I think it's going to be wonderful. So just keep that on your calendar. Right. And so, I mean, that's just a little bit of I think why, God had me go out there. And, it was wonderful. Just don't like the 15-hour flights back. You know, that's the only bad thing about that. Okay. Well, the title of today is called Thriving in Uncertainty. Thriving in Uncertainty. And so, you guys know that, you know, a few weeks ago I said I haven't really commented so much about the times right now, because a lot of it I just wanted to get a handle on it first, you know, before I start preaching messages on stuff that you know, and I want to make sure it's grounded and whatnot. And so, so now I'm basically starting to speak on our life and our situation, the thriving in uncertainty. Okay. Why don't you say this? You don't have to turn to your neighbor and whatnot, because apparently that's not cool to do that. So, but I'm just not cool. So we're going to keep doing it as a church. Just repeat this after me. And you probably, can relate to what I'm saying here. All right. Just very simple. Repeat after me. I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't always know what to do. I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't have all the answers. I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't always know what is going to happen. Some of you guys are like, yeah. It's your best song. You're hitting home, baby. You know? And that's kind of where we're at in a lot of ways, huh? You know, don't know what to do. Don't know what's going to happen. Don't have all the answers. You know? This is probably, one of the first times as a church and as a pastor leading the church, you know, I mean, I've been lost before. I've been lost many times, but I am lost. I mean, you know, it's like, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? You know, where are we going to move to? You know, I mean, there's so many, this is really, you know, other times, just be honest, I'm not trying to be cocky or anything, but I pretty much knew where we're going to go. You know, I had an idea. There was something inside of me, you know, I was pretty confident and stuff. And even if people disagree with me, you know, don't matter. I was just going to bulldoze through. Right. And, but now we come to a crossroads as a church and individually as a leader, you know, and maybe you in your own situation and circumstances. Lord, I trust you. But I don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I have no idea, you know, and in this time of uncertainty, you know, just trying to figure things out. You know, and I'm sharing on a corporate level, but a personal level that deals with us as a church, as I'm trying to lead this church. You know, but I'm sure it's hitting home to many of you guys. You know, I mean, I remember talking to a brother just a little while ago, you know, and just sharing with them, you know, and he had lived here in Hong Kong for such a long time. I said, bro, you should buy a house. You know, you should do something. I mean, you know, you know, you want to get married soon and you know, whatnot. And he's not dating anyone, but, you know, he wants to get married soon and all these things. And says, hey, you should start planning for that, you know, and lay some roots down and whatnot. You know, and his response to me was, Sam, I don't know. You know, what if I lose my job? You know, I mean, he had the money to buy a house and, you know, pay for the mortgage and whatnot, but what if I lose my job? You know, and, I remember sitting there and I think we were driving and I said, really? You know, and maybe for the first time, the reality of that kind of settled inside of me, you know, you know, for me, I think the world of you guys. You know, I think you guys are so competent and so professional, you know, and just such wonderful people. I can't imagine, you know, you losing your job, even though a few of us have, you know, but I take those as being flukes, you know, kind of mean like, you know, a stupid manager didn't know what he's doing, so fired the wrong person kind of thing. But and once you, we know that's not really true sometimes, right? Something's happened, you know, and I realized, wow, a lot of people at our church are living in uncertainty. You know, we're living in a time that we've never seen in a very, very long time. You know, things are so up in the air, right? And then as I talk to people individually, you know, not just, you know, in terms of work or whatnot, but their, you know, home life and their health and, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. You know, Jimmy and Boyoung just had a baby, you know, and brought me back to, you know, when we had our first kid, right? And I remember, you know, the weeks leading up to it, man, I was a wreck. You know, because everything was so uncertain, you know, and I begin to question myself, you know, like, can I provide for this baby? You know, I mean, can I be a good dad? You know, I mean, what kind of dad am I going to be? You know what I mean? And like a million questions come up. And then as you get closer to the delivery, you know, oh my gosh, is something going to happen? And you think of like the 10 billion worst things that can happen to your wife and your child and, you know, and I've never shared this publicly, you know, but I often thought some of those times, you know, like, you know, what if I had to raise the kid on my own? You know, what if something happened and, you know, and Lisa, something were to happen to her, God forbid. And, you know, and I was making contingency plans in my mind for all kinds of crazy stuff. You know what I mean? It's just because times of uncertainty bring about, it kind of unleashes the doors of our mind. You know what I mean? I mean, the dragons get released inside, you know, but yet we know that, man, you know, and we come back to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We understand that God's not uncertain, you know, and it always comes back to that, you know, we're living in this time of uncertainty, you know, so many things are up in the air. Say this, turn to your neighbor now, say, hey, good looking. I will always be uncertain. I can be certain of that. Oh, it doesn't make sense, but it's okay, right? You'll always be uncertain. You can be certain of that. Really simple, right? That's what it means. And let me share this with you, okay? Uncertainty is not an indication of poor leadership. Okay? It's not. It's not an indication of poor leadership. That's what the world wants to picture things. You know, as soon as, you know, like in sports or in business or whatever, as soon as the company or sports team enters into a season, you know, where it's kind of gloomy or whatnot happens, what do? They fire their manager, right? They fire the coach, you know, or they fire the boss, you know, it gets laid off and, you know, golden parachute and all that kind of stuff. But see, uncertainty, you know, in times like this is not a result of poor leadership. It's not. It could be, right? And I'll say this again, uncertainty is not a result of poor choices. Not always. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes we can make poor choices that we live under the circumstances now of the choices or the result of our choices. Yes, that happens. But not all the time. And that's not the case all the time. You know, a lot of times we'll be in places of uncertainty that it wasn't a result of poor choices. It wasn't a result of your poor leadership. Or my poor leadership, or someone else's poor leadership. You know, a lot of times, that's not really how it is. You know, uncertainty is life. Life is uncertain. You know, and if the wages of sin are death, and as we, you know, come into a fallen world, there'll be a lot of uncertainty. There'll be a lot of questions. There'll be a lot of stuff that's out there. And you need to recognize that. And a lot of times what we end up doing is we end up pointing fingers at ourselves or pointing fingers at other people. You know, and let's stop doing that for a season and just take a peek. You know, look upward. Look inward. You know, look outward. See what God's doing in the midst of uncertainty. See, God is not uncertain. He's not. Right? The Bible, you know, all through his attributes, right? He's wise. He's inscrutable. He doesn't change. You know, it goes on and on. You know, John Wesley said this. He said, when I was young, I was sure of everything. In a few years, having mistaken 1,000 times, I was not half sure of so much of the things I was before. At present, I'm hardly sure of anything but what God has revealed to me. I like Wesley. You guys want to name your son Wesley? Go ahead. I don't think it's going to happen in my family. When I was young, I was sure of everything. In a few years, having been mistaken 1,000 times, I was not half so sure of most things as I was before. At present, I'm hardly sure of anything but what God has revealed to me. James chapter 1, verse 17. I'll give you a second to find it. James 1, 17. Actually, this comes from Malachi chapter 3. James 1, 17 says, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Our God doesn't change. Our God is perfect. You know, I've said it so many times at church. You know, when God finishes the day, he looks himself in the mirror. He said, God, you had another perfect day. Pats himself on the back. That's what he does. Don't take me literally, you know, God doesn't really have a mirror, right? But you understand what I'm saying. So he does. So this is what God, you did it again. You had another perfect day, right? And he moves forward. Right? Life is uncertain, but God is not. But God has a way, right, of creeping in, you know, especially in the times of uncertainty. Think about it. What was the epicenter of Christianity? It was the cross. Can you imagine a more uncertain time for the church? Right? I mean, can you imagine a worse predicament that you can ever go through as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Right? But that was the epicenter of Christianity. Right? That was the center of it all. And it was uncertainty, but it was God doing something in the midst of that. See, God shows up in uncertain times. That's his business, right? When the more uncertain it is, the more of God there will be, right? When it becomes totally unfathomable, totally out of our reach, that's when God shows up. You know, ministry for me. You know how I started ministry? Right? I mean, I've shared some stories here and there. But my launch, the first time I ever wanted to do anything for God, you know, was in 1993. And I just graduated from university, you know, and I came to Hong Kong, you know, after my senior year, and I led the team now coming into Hong Kong. And so I led a basketball, volleyball team here. And my intention was to stay in Hong Kong. You know that, right? For the rest of my life. I knew God called me to Hong Kong and I was going to stay here. You know, I gave away all my stuff, just about, literally, my possessions were accumulated in 3 boxes. That was it. Right? And I had a truck. You know, I couldn't sell the truck for some reason. Now I know why, because God wanted me back home. You know, but all my stuff was in 3 boxes in my aunt's house in Oceanside. I mean, just crazy. I gave away all my winter clothes, because I was only in Hong Kong during the summers, and it was stinking hot. You know, I didn't know that you actually needed sweaters and jackets and stuff, right? Because I just thought this place is the hottest place on earth. I gave away all my sweaters. I gave away all my jackets. You know, I gave away my thick, you know, all my ski stuff. I mean, gone, you know, because I thought I was going to come to Hong Kong, you know. And so I came and I've told the story many times, you know, didn't quite work out like I thought it would, you know, and end up, you know, hurting my knee, right? I tore my ACL and had surgery, end up going home, right? And so can you imagine, you know, imagine a young Sam, you know, 25 years old, just a young buck. I mean, I know you can't imagine that, right? But I think about those days fondly all the time. and I was an athlete. That was my identity. Everyone knew me as that, you know. And I was an athlete, the guy got saved. You know, and so my whole identity is in what I can do with my hands and with my feet and, you know, how fast I can run, how high I can jump. You know, that was who I was. You know, and this is the first thing I'm doing for you, God. What does God do? Hits me at my strength. You know, think about that. You know, to me, it's like, God, this is what I have to offer to you. You know, because I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't preach. Back then, I really couldn't preach. You know, some of you guys thinking I can't preach now, but back then I really couldn't preach, you know. And so, but this is how you repay me? You know, and so I'm back at home and I'm, you know, no job, no money, you know, no place to call home. Parents are gone on the mission field, you know, in a wheelchair, right? I mean, just messed up, you know, and I mean, talk about uncertainty, you know, 25-year-old. I was 24 back then. You know, just trying to figure out just a gloomy, gloomy time. But have you ever heard people say, you know, when they tell stories about their life, and like really bad parts of their life, and they always say, I wouldn't change it for the world. And you listen to them, you're like, you're lying. You get that, you're lying, man. You know, come on. That's kind of, you know what? I'm even standing in front of the cross, and you know, as a pastor, I wouldn't change it for the world. God shows up. And God showed up for me like you wouldn't believe. You know, I mean, just absolutely amazing. You know, and in that time of uncertainty, I can find the God of certainty. You know, and I realized it was so much about me. About my abilities, about my strength, my capabilities, you know. And it had to be an accident had to happen to just kind of put me on the side so I could really see. And then God restores everything, you know. I mean, he does restore and then some. That's what God does, you know. But it happens like that, you know. And this is the key, right? This is the key, right? This, I and you are part of God's story. This whole thing, it's God's story, right? So you have a story in God's story. You have a story in God's story. I have a story in God's story. We all have this, and listen very clearly. This is worth the admission today, right? Very clearly. God's story is not cyclical. It doesn't run on a cycle. God's story is linear, right? It goes through, right? He doesn't move in cycles. He has a beginning, and he runs through, and there's an end. Now, we weren't there in the beginning, right? But he knows your beginning. You remember your beginning, and he has an end for each and every one of us. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Right, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Why is he able to say that? Because he knows his story. It's linear. Think about this. Okay, let me bring it home. Right? Think about this. Let's say you're reading a book, a really exciting book. Let's say you're reading The Lord of the Rings or something, right? You know, and you're reading The Fellowship of the Rings, and you get to the one part where it looks like, oh no, it's that chapter, like, oh man, Frodo's gonna die. You know, this is, you know, you think, you know, this is a bad chapter of the book. How many of you guys put the book down? Just give up on it. Okay, forget it. Walk away. Of course not. You continue reading. Why? Because there's an end there. Right? Now, let's bring that home. How many of us, when you're enduring a bad chapter in your life, thinking about quitting, packing it in, forget this. That's some serious stuff, you know. And this really brings home to me because, you know, L.A. or Orange County is my home, you know, and the conference had to be in Irvine, right? So I was in my hood again, right? You know, and stuff. And so, you know, so meeting up with a lot of people and, you know, and I was a youth pastor for 5 years, right? So I've seen hundreds of thousands of kids go through the ministry, you know, and, I heard about one of them, you know, the other day, and, you know, it was a Chinese kid, was in our, you know, he's one of those, you know, typical, there's always a few, right? The Chinese guy that wants to be Korean, you know, and so he was in our youth group, right? Now it's, I know it's the reverse, right? Now there's Korean guys that want to be Chinese and stuff, so, yeah. And stuff, so, you know, and, but he was one of those guys, and so he came to, you know, he's with us for years, and, you know, he grew and all that stuff, but apparently, later on, he got into gambling, you know, and then he owed people money, and then, I mean, so on and so forth, and, you know, I was trying to get a hold of him, I couldn't this time around, but apparently, he was running away from, you know, guys that he owed money with, he borrowed money from people and whatnot, and, you know, next thing you know, he sent a suicide note to one of my other students. And so they were frantically trying to find him. And then he went to like Palm Springs or somewhere and he's going to kill himself. You know, and, you know, thank God he didn't. Right? And he decided to get his life in order. And so I'm going back in the summer. I'm going to look the guy up, man. Right? Because he needs some help. And so, but that brings, there's a, such a reality, you know. And I hope none of you guys want to kill yourself, but you never know, you know, but just, I mean, just because it's a bad chapter, are we going to give up? See, if you understand that you're a part of God's story, and God's story is linear, right? When you really understand that God had a beginning for you, and God had an end for you, right? And everything I read in the Bible, it's pretty clear that the end is pretty good. It's really good, right? He says, the plans I have for you, man, they're glorious. They're beneficial. You know, they're a future and a hope. You know, all these wonderful things. You know, some of us are in difficult chapters. I understand. I know. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on your life. Don't give up on the situation. And don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on your faith. Cling to the rock that is higher than all, as the psalmist would say. Right? Where our foundation is not on shifting sand, but on the rock that is higher than I. Right? Every single one of us, you are a part of God's story. He's still writing the story right now. And let me give you a sneak peek. It is a glorious, glorious ending. So much more than you can ever ask or imagine. That's God's story over your life. Bad chapters happen here and there. That's life. The God of the Bible, right, is the God of redemption. He lives to redeem. That's his job, right? That's what he does. That's what he loves to do, right? That's what he's about. And so, the title of my message today is Thriving in Uncertainty. So how do, you know, what do we need to thrive in uncertainty? See, I'm not talking about just going through the motions, and I'm not talking about just getting over it, you know, or just making it through, or limping to the finish line. How can we thrive in uncertainty? And how can we use uncertainty to our benefit? You know, use it as an advantage for us instead of a disadvantage. I just have three very simple things. And it's really simple because this is all done on the plane. Right? How do we thrive in uncertainty? Number one, clarity. Clarity. It may not make sense. Don't give me those looks, guys, right? Clarity. Listen very carefully, right? It's okay to be uncertain, but it's not okay to be unclear. Okay? We need clarity. Now, uncertainty clears the way for us to have clarity. In other words, you know what happens in uncertainty? Because things become so uncertain, we take a step back and we begin to see what God has really called us to. In other words, what's your vision? You know, people always, you know, ask me, especially in the area of jobs, right? You know, work. You heard me tell the story many times, right? It's the emergency phone call, right? I get many of these emergency phone calls. Pastor Sam, can I have lunch with you tomorrow? You know, please, can I have lunch with you tomorrow? Right? Go and have lunch. And it's always job related, right? Pastor Sam, I need to make a decision in about 3 hours. You know, I need to sign a contract. This bank, or I don't know what to do, you know? And stuff. And I'm like, why don't you ask me like a month ago, you know? Why are you waiting for the last seconds, you know, and stuff and whatnot? But in this time, and it's always like, well, I don't know where I should, you know, and in the midst of the uncertainty, it's really good because it allows us to take a step back, you know, kind of move away from the fog and then see, well, what has God called me to do? You know what I mean? It's those big questions, right? That get lost in the fog a lot of times. What has God called me to do? What? Why am I on this planet? Lord, what's the vision? You know, and hopefully that you entered into that profession because the vision was there. You know, I need to reach, you know, my company or, you know, or God spoke, told me to come into this thing. And especially in the midst of all these different decisions and whatnot, right? If you've had a counseling session, I say the same things all the time. You know, I said, what's the last thing that God told you to do? So simple. What's the last thing that God told you to do? Right? People are wondering, should they quit their job? Well, did God tell you to take this job? Yeah. Then why do you want to leave it? Did God tell you to leave it? No. Why do you want to leave it? I'm not happy. What did God tell you? No. You know what I mean? It's that place of clarity, you know, that comes in uncertainty. You know, where there becomes a defining of who you are and what God has called you to do and be. It's fantastic. You know what I mean? That's why people say, I wouldn't change it for the world. You know what I mean? Because it comes back to that time and that space. What does God call you to do? What was the original vision? Now, if you don't know that, right, you need to go back and get that first. You know, and then let everything flow out of that. It's like, you know, picture of like kind of like a wheel, you know, like a bicycle wheel. That thing has to be the center, right? You know, and then everything else, those are just the spokes, they're just the offshoots of that center, you know, that vision, you know. It's gonna start from there. And then there could be all different things we do, but it's still gotta focus from that center of what God has called us to do. It's gotta be clarity. Let me give you an illustration in the scriptures. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, I mean, talk about an uncertain time. You know what I mean? I mean, talk about an uncertain time, right? Moses is dead. If you don't, that's what it says right in the beginning of the passage, right? It says, now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, the servant. Right? So Moses is gone. The preeminent leader, the prophet, the guy that spoke to God face to face, he's there, you know? And all of a sudden, he's gone. Can you imagine what that's like? You know, he's gone. He's, you know, went to be with the Lord. And so now, Joshua, this young man, well, he's not so young, because, you know, 40 years in the wilderness, he had to wander, right? So he's at least 40. Okay, and then I'm sure he was, you know, a few years old when he was, you know, so I mean, so he's not a young man, but still, now Joshua is in charge, right? And so, if you don't believe you know, or if you don't understand Joshua's state of mind, let me tell you his state of mind. He was scared, he was scared, he was scared. How do I know that? Well, the Bible keeps saying, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. You know what I mean? I mean, he was really, really scared. I mean, because, you know, he says it again, when he receives the word, remember verse 9, it says, haven't I commanded you? You know, in other words, I told you, I'm going to tell you again. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble, be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Right? And so he enters into this leadership. He enters into this very uncertain situation. They've been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. Can you believe that? 40 years. You know what they did for 40 years? They woke up in the morning, they looked up, and they saw. Right? If the cloud was there, they packed up, and they marched. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. They set up camp. They woke up the next day, look up in the air, and they saw the cloud. If the cloud wasn't there, they stayed. If the cloud was there, they packed up, right? And they followed the cloud until the cloud stopped. And then they stopped. They did this for 40 years. You know? I mean, can you imagine 40 years? They didn't have to make any decisions. You know what I mean? God decided everything for them. You know? They woke up and they just looked up. Well, okay. Back up, family. You know, I mean, can you imagine being the dad of the family? And probably worse, being the mom of the family. You got kids and stuff, you know? And every morning you got like, do we pack up? You know, do we not? You know, I mean, do we do laundry today or do we got to pack? You know, I mean, it's just crazy. You know, and now the leader that was leading this whole thing that spoke to God face to face is gone. He just went to be with the Lord. And now Joshua's there. Oh my gosh, I'm going to lead this army. You know, I has no idea. Let's go to verse 10, 11. He says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days, you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. Now, you may miss what he's saying here. He gives them the directive. Very uncertain time, he gives them the directive. Go and pack and make provisions. They're really good at that. They're really good at packing. They're like professional packers by now. Can you imagine? I mean, how many times do you think they packed in 40 years? You know what I mean? I mean, these guys were incredible. And if you have a good Bible, right, and if you look in the back of your Bible and there's some maps, the best map is the map of the wilderness journey, right? Because if you look, just look on there. I mean, talking about futility, right? These guys are going in circles. I mean, they're almost, a couple times, they're almost right there where they're supposed to go. But they're in circles. Right? Everyone's looking at my Bibles now, right? And stuff, but it's like crazy. These guys are going all over the place in 40 years. They're great at packing. But they're not good at warring. They have no idea how to do that. They're good at wandering. They're not good at warring. They're good packers. But now they get to the Jordan where they've never gone before. Right? They've never gone in this place before. They're scared. They're scared. There's a river that needs to be crossed. Right? In every single one of our hearts, there's a river that needs to be crossed. And these guys were there at the base of this river. Good packers. Good at wandering. Right? And now that they come and first time they need to make a decision now, right? They come to this place and they're wrought and unsaved. And so what did the word of the Lord, verse 12 says, and the Reubenites and the Gadites, the half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. See, I believe that in the 40 years they were wandering, forgot the vision. And it gets like that sometimes. You know, you get so busy, you get so beaten up, you forget what God had called you to. What did God call Israel to? They called them to possess the land. Alright, God called them to pass the river. right, to get over on the other side and make a kingdom, right, unto the Lord. That was the vision of God. It takes the men of God to say, hey, remember what Moses said. Remember that Moses said that God will give us this land, right, that we'll prosper in this place. So thank God, cross the river. Many of you probably forgot the vision. And you wandered for so long. You moved about for so long. And then you come to this place and you're wondering, what the heck? You know, but God has got you into that place. Right? He's restoring the vision. Restoring purpose. All you gotta do is cross over. It's yours. But it takes sometimes the uncertainty to bring us back to the base of that river. Right? It takes the uncertainty sometimes to bring about the clarity. What has God called? What did God call the Israelites to? What did God call Joshua to? Right? Call him to cross the river. Call him to build a kingdom. Right? They did it. What has God called you to? Say it this way, what is holding you back? That's your Jordan. What's holding you back from what God has called you to do? What is it that makes you afraid? You know, 40 years ago, these guys were ready to roll, man. You know, I mean, Joshua was at least, right? And now Joshua comes to this place. And it takes men of God to say, hey, Joshua, what's your vision? What did God call you to? Crosses the river. That's right. Uncertainty helps us to go back to the original vision. See, the Israelites, they had to do what God had told them to do and depend on Him to do what they couldn't do. Much simpler. They had to do what God had told them to do and depend on Him to do what they couldn't do. And that same way for us, we need to do what God has told us to do. And to depend on Him to do what we cannot do. That's what it's about. It's relying on Him once again. It's retreating to the vision. Some of us, we've just gotten really good at wandering. We've gotten really good at just floating around and, you know, doing our jobs and, you know, kind of, you know, doing business, right? Going through stuff. A lot of times, that's when the uncertainty really hits. Because we got so competent in doing what we're doing, but that's not really what God called you to do. Or sidetracked you from what God had called you to do. You know, and so the times of uncertainty comes, and it's a gift from God. It's God's way of saying, hey, let's take a step back. What's your purpose? And then you walk in that purpose. You walk in it. Right, there's nothing like clarity. Right? And it's okay, it's okay to be uncertain, but it's not okay to be unclear. What has God called you to do? What's your mission? What is it that you're here on this earth for? I'm not saying it's not what you're doing right now. It could, hopefully it is. Hopefully it very well is. You know? I tell you, man, let's just continue on or else we'll be here all day. Right? Number one, clarity. Number two, what do you need to thrive in uncertainty? Flexibility. Flexibility. See, plans change, but vision always remains the same. Plans may change, but the vision remains. The crazy thing is, plans seem to change more in times of uncertainty. A lot of different plans. But the vision must remain. Have you ever read a book by Jim Collins called Good to Great? Right? Yeah. She actually gave me the book and said, Pastor Sam! You gotta read this book! You know? So I read it, and I read the other one as well, and really good stuff, you know. I read more than just Christian books, if you know and stuff. And in fact, I'm reading right now this one crazy dude, man. He wrote God Is Not Great. Right? He's a famous atheist guy. So it's kind of interesting. You know, the Bible says know your enemy, right? So I'm trying to, you know, understand what these knuckleheads are talking about. But in any case, so this Collins, you know, he writes about Sam Walton, right, of Walmart. You know, and talks about his strategy and you know, all these things. And I think in part, the son is actually commenting, you know, on this about his dad and whatnot. And this is what he says. He says, no decision was sacred, but the vision never changed. No decision was sacred, but the vision never changed. Right? You know, giving customers, you know, the greatest value for their buck. That vision never changed. The strategies and the plans, all that stuff changed all the time, right? He says there was nothing sacred with Walton. But the vision was always the same. There's gotta be some flexibility here. You know, there's gotta be a way for us to, you know, be open to changing our plans. You know what I mean? Because those are our plans. You know? But we stick close to God's vision in our hearts. You know, be flexible, right? The path may be different, but the vision does not change. I tell you, man, I've had so many job titles, you know, in just, you know, 17 years of ministry. You know, there are so many, different things that I thought I was gonna do or, you know what I mean? I mean, there's so many, you know, different approaches and things that, but the vision was always the same, right? No matter if I was youth pastor or evangelist or, you know, a prophetic guy or, you know, a revivalist or, you know, whatever, you know, a campus pastor, whatever the case may be, you know, the vision was always the same, to build God's church. From day one, it's always remained the same. The outlet of that has changed in many different ways. You know, in some of the ways was not really even connected to, you know, the local church in such a way. But it was still to build his church. Right? The vision was always the same. Job titles changed. You know, different job descriptions changed. You know, geographies changed. Locations changed. You know, my own plans changed. You know, have you guys, you know, as a younger person, maybe in university, do you guys remember having a 10-year plan? How many of you guys had a 10-year plan? 30-year plan? Wow. Right? None of you guys? 5-year plan? You know, come on. Maybe you didn't write it down, but you graduated college, you said, all right, I'm going to be married by the time I'm 30. I'm going to have my first kid by the time I'm 32. You know, I'm going to, you know, make my first million by the time I'm 35. You know, and then I'm going to retire when I'm 50. You know, or so, you may not written it down, but it's kind of in our hearts, right? You made all these plans, you know, and whatnot. And well, the ones that did do this illustration is just falling up from the sky, but, you know, the ones that did make plans, you still make those plans? Probably not. You know, because you realize life is just a bit different than our plans. I made plans. You know, I had an idea of what I wanted to do and whatnot. And add all kinds of stuff out there. You know, so I just chuck it. You know, I just chuck it. You know, it's crazy. I was at this conference and it was pretty affirming for me. You know, one of the speakers came up and, you know, he's got this humongous church in South Carolina and he was sharing and he was talking, you know, and he says, man, we don't even have a 5-year plan at church and stuff, you know. It says, I've never made plans. And, you know, and I sat there and I had my, you know, two buddies next to me and stuff. And I said, me neither, man. You know, we don't got any plans. Right? We have no idea what's going to happen, right? But I took that as a more of a spiritual kind of, you know, we're just being led by the Lord kind of thing. Even though that's not really true, you know, it's partly true and things, but, you know, you have to many times, you have to abandon your plans. Right? There's got to be a flexibility there. keep the vision. Whatever that may be. Maybe what you're doing right now, that plan that's in effect, maybe it's time for you to abandon it. Choose another course that gets you closer to the vision. That streamlines to that place. Now, I really admire some of our guys at church, right, that are making decisions in their life right now, because they're holding on to the vision. It's plain and simple. It's my friend John, right? My brother John Lee. I told you, first two rows, it's dangerous, man. I don't know why you guys sit there all the time, right? And stuff, but, you know, John's teaching here in Hong Kong. I know John loves Hong Kong, right? He loves the church. He's grown here. Got filled with the Holy Spirit here, you know, and I was hoping he'd meet his wife here, but, you know, you still have a few months, ladies, but in any case, you know, ministers here, you know, the whole deal, right? Worship team did an incredible job at the outreach, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, but, you know, John's moving to Korea. Why anyone will live in Korea, I have no idea and stuff, but, you know, he's moving to Korea. He speaks worse Korean than I do, you know? And that's a fact. Come on, man. Don't be doing this. That's a fact. I heard you speak before, you know, and stuff. And he just speaks less than me, but he's moving, you know, because God put a vision in his heart, right, to help North Korea. He could do a lot better there than he can here. You know, plans change all the time, but the vision remains the same. And I'm sure in John's life, plans will change again. You know, things that he thought, you know, and things will happen. But see, if he sticks close to the vision, right? I mean, does it really matter what the plans are then? You know? Like, ask John after service. Ask him. So John, if, you know, would you do this if it meant your vision was going to be established? Yeah, man. You know, I'd tell you, he'd be probably cooking jajimeon somewhere if he wanted to. If it meant that jajimeon is a black noodle that we like to eat. If it, you know, if it meant the vision was going to be established. Isn't that true? Right? So you got to be flexible. What if John said, no, I love Hong Kong so much, you know, I can't do without Pastor Sam's messages. There's no way I can live without them, you know? How can I abandon? You know? That'd be horrible. I could come out myself. You know what I mean? I mean, that would just be horrible. Right? Because he stuck to the plan instead of the vision. You gotta be flexible. You gotta be flexible. You know, there's just something about that. You know, be willing to move and, you know, sometimes be willing to stay. Tim, you know, be willing to do all kinds of stuff. You know? Right? You never know. Right? You never know. So, number one, right? Clarity. What do you need to thrive in uncertainty? You need clarity. You need flexibility. You need to be flexible. Number three, this is the really important one. You need to pray like crazy. Not just pray, you need to pray like crazy pray. I'm talking like serious, serious praying needs to be done in times of uncertainty. You know, it's really interesting because this uncertainty has two different effects on people. Right? One, it makes people more spiritually numb. You know, because it's like, oh man, this is so big, I can't handle it, and you just retreat. You don't retreat into God, you just retreat. And you get depressed, and then you withdraw from people, and you want to be alone, you know, and then the late nights start happening, and then with some people, they start hitting the bottle, you know, retreating to alcohol, and, you know, all kinds of debauchery and all kinds of stuff, because they're trying to numb, you know, they're just trying to get numb, because soul is crying. You know what that's called? That's called soul sickness. Right? I learned this phrase. You know, it's really, you know, it's really a soul sickness. You know, because, you know, because God has put something inside of you and you know, and there's a destiny there and but the circumstances and life hadn't quite worked out that way. And so your soul kind of gets sick, you know, because there's all this stuff inside and it's not being manifested in such a way and things. And so you retreat into stuff. See, it has an effect, right? And it's crazy. You don't know how it happens or to whom it happens, because, you know, it could be brothers, you know, twin brothers in a situation. You know what I mean? And one will just fall in love with God and just give himself to prayer, and one will just live like the devil. This is the craziest thing. You know, and I wish I had an answer to why that happened. I just don't know why. You know? But there's two things that happen. And as I'm saying it to you, you can make a choice. You can. Right? Quit being numb. Just give yourself to prayer. Let me challenge you. If that's where you're at right now, you know, and you feel like giving up, and do something with me. Right? Simple. Pray for 40 days. I mean, just pray. Even if you don't feel like it, even if you don't mean the words, just pray. Do it out of habit. Do it out of duty. Go ahead, you know. I mean, obviously we want to do it out, but just do it. Just do it. See what happens. 40 days. If nothing happens in 40 days in your heart didn't get softer, and you start falling in love with Jesus, right? Okay, then you can talk to me, and we'll figure something out. Right? You know, but try for 40 days. They had this study. A guy is actually writing a book right now. It's coming out soon. They did this study, right? They took, I forget how many, I think it was 2,000 couples about to get divorced. 2,000 couples, right? About to be divorced. And they asked these couples, said, will you just do this? Will you just pray with one another? Just that. Pray with one another, right? 5 minutes a day. That's all, you know, this counselor, right, and part of this huge study, will you just pray with your spouse for 40 days? For 40 days, 5 minutes a day. Don't pray alone, pray together. Just come, get on your knees, right, they have a very specific, get on your knees, hold hands, and just pray together for 5 minutes. The study was over. You know how many couples got divorced out of that, out of 2,000 couples? One. Whoa. That prayer thing works. One couple. Crazy, man. Right? And I didn't get the whole thing, but I think there were Christians and non-Christians in that pool. But they just asked them to sit down and just pray together. And as they prayed together, God started doing this. Can you, if I didn't mean it. You know what I mean? Something happens. In a time of uncertainty, pray like crazy, man. We have prayer almost every morning here at church. You know, 7 o'clock. I'm not plugging in early morning prayer. I do that every week anyway, so you guys are sick of me, right? I challenge you. Come out. You know, come out and just pray. I've tried to make the atmosphere, you know, very prayerful. If you come out, you know what I'm talking about, you know? And stuff, and you know, it's not, I don't want any sissy praying going on anymore at SP. You know what I mean by sissy, right? You know, I want us to really seriously pray and seek the Lord, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, I mean, you know, no more junk mail in heaven, right? I mean, just really laying it out there before the Lord. Pray like crazy. Because you got no other resource. Just pray. You know, when you start out, you may not even mean it. I don't care. Just do it. Take it. 40-day challenge. Sounds like a good book. Right? We'll write a book later. Right? It's crazy. I have more book titles in my head than I have books. It's really nuts, right? 40-day challenge, man. Pray for 40 days. See what happens. See what happens. is that I guarantee grace being overflowing. It's kind of like our salvation is like that, right? You know, our salvation, we got saved, you know what it did? It erased the uncertainty of our eternity. Right? When we pray like crazy, God will come and erase the uncertainty of whatever is going on in your life. That's just what He does. Right? And yeah, this is a time, friends, that we need to receive grace. We need to receive grace. Okay? Let's close our eyes. And this is how I want to pray for you today. If you are going through that time of uncertainty, like I was talking about, and you know that it really hit home with you because you felt it. There was a resonating in your soul. We want to pray for you today. And all we want to pray for is just grace to come. What you don't deserve, none of us deserve it. But God freely gives. And His grace will come. Thank you, Jesus. That's why His grace is so amazing. For the discouraged out there today, God's not done with your story. He's still writing it. There's an awesome future. There's a glorious ending. This is not the end of your story. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. This is not the end of your story. It's a little bump. Bad chapter. It's not the end. Your end is glorious. Your future is glorious. We want to pray for you as well. Just to ask grace to come. I want to minister to you. This is what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us as a church. That's where you're at and you really feel like there's a real resonating in your soul. With all our eyes are closed, just stand. Just acknowledging your need before the Lord. Say, Lord, I just need you. I need grace. It's a bit unclear. A lot of uncertainty. Or I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to work out. Lord, I don't have all the answers. Just stand where you're at. Just ask the grace of our Lord Jesus to come. As you stand in your heart, just begin to open up. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just cover my friends right now, God. that have humbled themselves, Lord, come to this place of need. Lord, would you release grace? Grace that's so amazing. Grace, God, that goes beyond comprehension. Would you come and release grace? One of the speakers at the conference was sharing this story. Oh, so good, I gotta share with you. He was asked to speak at the pray at the inauguration kind of prayer breakfast that they had. So they have it every time a new president comes in. And so he was one of the guys that was asked. He was kind of the evangelical representative. And he came, you know, and he was sitting on the stage, and so he got to see everyone. I mean, he had a, you know, like 10 feet away from the Obamas and, you know, Hillary Clinton, John McCain, you know, all these bigwigs in Washington, you know, the rulers of the world in essence. And he was saying that, you know, he's watching them the whole time, and you could tell they were, all of them were so disinterested. You know, I mean, they didn't want to be there, but they had to be there. But all of a sudden, one of the guys comes and is a, you know, African-American singer, and he starts humming Amazing Grace. And then, and this pastor's watching this whole thing happen. And, as he's humming Amazing Grace, you know, Obama kind of looked at the guy, leaned in, and then he bowed his head. You know, and the pastor is sharing the stories, kind of relaying, you know, can you imagine a more uncertain time than what these leaders have to face right now? And even the President of the United States needs to recognize they can't do it. All he could ask for is grace. The pastor was saying, what a beautiful moment that was. You can't do it either. You never could. You were never supposed to. Can you give it to God right now? Whatever your burden, whatever that decision that you need to make, whatever that circumstance, whatever that trial, can you give it to Jesus? And receive grace. So Lord, we pray for a transfer today, God. We pray that you would transfer the weight. Lord, you transfer the pain. You would transfer the discomfort, God. Transfer the failure that they may feel like they're having. Transfer the circumstance, God. We lay it at your feet. And Lord, and we receive grace. Right now. Holy Spirit. Supernatural transaction right now. As they volitionally lay it down. Lord, and then pour grace. So you guys just begin to do that in your heart. Now for us brothers and sisters that are sitting, and Chris is going to lead us in worship in a sec. Let's look around our room to our friends that are standing, and let's stand with them. Let's pray for them. Love on them. Bless them. Find someone, right? Find someone who is standing. Now that everyone stood, it's a little tougher now. Let's move about the room. Let's bless our brothers and sisters. Someone pray for Chelsea here. Someone pray for Jamie over there. Someone come and pray for Christina, even though she's praying for someone else. Someone pray for May in the back. Pray for Mary. Bless our brothers and sisters that have stood. Bless G. Let's all rise to our feet, and if you're praying, continue to pray. Let's sing this as an anthem before the Lord.
To me, you are the best of my heart. Till I see you face to face, grace amazing takes me home, trust in me.
Let's pray together as a family. Lord, I thank you, God. Lord, that you know all things, God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're unchangeable, Lord. That you, God, have no shifting shadow, God. I thank you, God, that you're inscrutable, Lord. That you're wonders, God, are so amazing, Lord. I thank you that, God, that our story is wrapped up in your story. I thank you, Lord, that you're still writing right now, even as I speak, our story. That you wouldn't do it without us, God, and we can't do it without you. And Lord, I pray especially for my friends, God, that are discouraged. God, that are living in the cloud, God, but not the cloud of glory, God. The cloud of confusion. Lord, take away that cloud with your cloud, your presence. Encourage my friends, God. Draw them to you, Lord. Let grace abound in their hearts, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Why don't you hug someone next to you? Huh? You can't do it alone, friends. Please join us for some refreshments. Yes, talk to me afterwards. There is a conference this Friday, which is a holiday, at ICA. You may want to come to. If you're interested, come talk to me. But have a wonderful week this week.